Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the EDG Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at edgsports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of EDG Sports LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Hump Day Show with Joel Foran and Chips here on this Wednesday, August 25th of the year 2020-21. We're coming to you live on blogtalkradio.com, courtesy of the E2G Sports Network, and we are the unsung sports grid. If you want to join us, because we have a lot to talk about in the next 90 minutes or so, because we had a much-needed break last week, but we're back and ready to roll. 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. But before we get into our itinerary today, let's bring in the co-host of this lovely extravaganza, and that is the one and only Mr. Joe Foran. Joe, you staying cool on this nice, balmy day up here in the northeast corner of the United States of America?
Yeah, here we go. It's almost our third heat wave of the summer, and it's like, you know, July was cold, but like seems like August is ending with a bang. So we'll see. No, but doing good.
I agree.
Doing good. It's like, you know, just remember, that might be your voice at the intro on this thing moving forward, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, so we've got a lot to talk about, obviously. We obviously had the Sean Thornton Foundation, who's one of our sponsors on our network. He had a golf tournament, which was scheduled for last Monday, but, of course, with the lovely Hurricane Henri, which kind of never came in some parts, but it's a whole other story we can get to. It has been rescheduled to September 30th, so we'll keep you updated with that. But if you want any more information on that, please go to egbsports.com, and you'll see the Sean Thornton Foundation down on the right. Scroll on there. You get all the information you need. Good friend of ours on the program. But if you want to reach me on Twitter, at JP underscore Ahern. Joe is at Foran Joe on Twitter as well. But as we said, we'll get into our weekly MLB things. Playoff races heating up. Locally here, the Boston Red Sox are hanging in there. Not playing well, but you know what? If the playoffs started today, they'd be in it, albeit the one-game playoff. We'll talk about their wild card hopes. We'll talk about storylines around Major League Baseball, those ever freaking stinking hot Yankees really moving up the ladder in the national power rankings. Speaking of power rankings, we'll have our top five later on in the show. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say, we'll obviously have this day in Pittsburgh Pirates history, and MLB.com has ranked the top 30 farm systems, and we'll get into that. So lots to cover here. Again, if you want to join us, 516-387-1702, 516-387-1702. BlogTalkRadio.com is where you find Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe, August 25th, 2021. So let's get into it, Joe. But first, we're up here in the Northeast, and training camps are in full flight with the final preseason game for each team coming this week, week off, and we're looking at maybe 2 weeks from Thursday, actually, if you will, 2 weeks from tomorrow when the start of the season begins. But up here in Patriot Land, we got a couple stories brewing. One under center. And we'll get into that with Cam Newton and his exploits, COVID-related. And we'll talk about what Mac Jones did in the joint practices with the New York Giants in scrimmages against their number ones. And we'll kind of get some feedback on Twitter because he looked pretty darn good. But I'd be remiss, Sony Michel traded as early as this morning to the L.A. Rams for a fifth and sixth round pick. But it's probably going to end up being just a fourth rounder in next year's draft. But first and foremost, I know he's won a Super Bowl, but Sony Michel actually did better than I thought coming out of Georgia with the knee situation. But I want your opinion on it because we're hearing bust, we're hearing not a bust. Sony Michel, we hardly knew you. What's your opinion on them, and did they get enough for
it? Just so everybody out there knows, my E2G buddies, writers, I've been quiet on this, but at Hump Day with Chips and Joe reported on Twitter this morning that this trade became official. But as far as my take is, he's not a bust, and he's not a great pick. He's somewhere in between because without Sony Michel, we don't win the Super Bowl against the Rams. Without Sony Michel and the running game with Devlin and a few others involved, James White, we don't win that Rams football game. So was it worth a first-round pick to win a Super Bowl? There's teams out there, a.k.a. the Cleveland Browns, they'll give their right arm and leg to win the Super Bowl. So because of him, it was one of the major reasons why we won the Super Bowl. That being said, he was not one of the better picks we've ever had at number one, because with that pick, we could have picked one Lamar Jackson, MVP of the NFL, who was picked in the very next pick by the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a bust. So, I mean, you know, he's somewhere in between. He was a serviceable, I would say. I mean, he had his good points. But with the crowded backfield, at least we got something back for him. A fourth-round pick is better than just let him go and have somebody pick him up. So that's just my opinion. But, you know, hey, we'll see how it works out for the Rams.
Agreed. That's Joe Perrin, Johnny Sun Chips here, Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. Every Wednesday we're coming a little later than normal, but we're here for you. It's about 4:35 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Blog Talk Radio of the year 2021. Again, if you want to call us, please do. Lots to talk about. Any sport, whatever you want to talk about is good. Favorite team, baseball, football, whatever. 516-387-1702. I will say a thing about Sony before we move on to what that means for the running back room this year, Joe, and that is, I mean, he was a byproduct, and we saw that 2018, you know, that team morph into a more running, a more run-first-oriented offense. That was part of the transition from that pass-happy, pass-first, run-second offense into a run-first, pass-second offense, and he fit right into the scheme. He had a great offensive line in front of him, but that's going to be the devil's advocate pick. Well, he was the beneficiary of Trent Brown, a great line, James Devlin, a great fullback. But you know what? He was a player who fit the system when they did, and you're right. He scored the only touchdown in that Super Bowl, and he was just what the doctor ordered for that team. So be it as it may, I mean, and I was really, really close to calling him a bust, but I can't because you got a couple years out of him, and he may not be what you wanted, but he certainly, you can argue, what is he worthy of that first-round pick? I'm going to say no because, you know, the whole story of running backs, are they worthy of first-round picks anyway when you can get them in later rounds? But he exercised that bust, quote-unquote, demon before it ever happened. But he got to get that team to where they needed to at a time when they needed to focus on that type of style of play. So I'll tip my cap to Sony Michel. Having said that, getting a fourth-round overall pick, I think is a steal because I'm not so sure how long he's going to last. The Rams needed a running back. We saw what happened in the preseason. And they were a desperate team. And there's rumors already around. There's rumors already throwing that. They made Matt actually spin him off. So that fourth-round pick, albeit with the Rams' success, it's going to be a late-rounder pick. That's not a bad pick for Sony Michel.
No, I agree it's not because, let's be serious, get what you want. But teams, good teams, very good football teams are made with the third, fourth, and fifth-round picks. So getting a fourth-rounder, that means you got another pick of the meat of the draft that Noah and Bill will turn into two more fifth-round picks and a sixth-round future pick. You know him, Bill, because he loves to trade those fourth-rounders. But, no, to me, to get a fourth-rounder out of a guy that everybody's considering a bust, which he's not, to get a fourth-round pick, you took advantage of a team that needed the running back, that needed somebody now, and was willing to take that chance. So it should work out for both teams. It really should. We alleviate that crowded backfield because now it looks like James White, as we discussed last night, I think he's staying. I think he's here because you could always use an extra third down back. Him and mm-hmm. and Taylor do wonders as in interchangeable pieces. So it just means he stays, and it looks like that running back situation kind of is alleviated because the numbers game was there. Somebody had to go. And by trading them, it's like, you know, you've got something back instead of releasing them.
So you look at the running back room now, Joe. Obviously, Michelle's gone. You've got J.J. Taylor, Damian Harris. I think they're locks now. Ramondre Stevenson looks like he's going to be on the roster. I like the style of run, and I think that's going to be a big bread and butter for them, regardless of who's going to be in the quarterback position, be it Mac Jones or be it Cam Newton. Brandon Bolden, I thought, could have made it, but he's been injured. He may hold on to special teams, but is that too many running backs to have? Can a J.J. Taylor fill the need that James White has for them? Because I like James White, and as of last night, I thought he was the odd man out. I was wrong. Credit to our buddy Galen, who's on the MGM show. He called this big time last night, and hats off to him. He bodes well. He called that the Rams were in desperate, and maybe Sony Michel would be a perfect fit. It did. But I don't know if all these running backs are going to be on this squad, because that's a lot to have in the running back room. It kind of with an extra roster spot, I get it. But I'm still not sure. James White, I know his resume speaks volumes, but I just wonder if they're holding on to him 1 year too long. Great clubhouse guy. Belichick loves him. He said so. But when all is said and done, they've got to get the best team on the field. I think they've got a couple of young, hungry running backs in Taylor and Stevenson who could fill that role.
Yeah, I agree. But I look at it this way. It's like, how much do we need Bolden on special teams? Because he's basically a special teamer who can fill the gap here and there. And I say, if I had to pick the two, twist my arm, Bolden is gone before White is. I just think they think White more valuable on third down. I think Bill would use him as a situational running back over Bolden, who is basically a special teamer. And it depends on what they've got lined up in special teams. See who's carved a niche for himself to make the team as a special teamer. So I would say, if you had to put my feet to the fire, I think Bolden's gone before White. But that's, like I said, just my opinion on that one.
Well, that's interesting, too. But, you know, and that's going to be a story of the running back room. But it's going to get even better now because, you know, let's go over the Cam Newton fiasco, and I'll call it a fiasco. And we talked briefly about it, but it's COVID-related. It's obviously what it looks like on the surface, and we'll give our opinions on this. It's almost like the Cam Newton or the organization were not aware of the protocols, which is very, very reckless and very, very, unpatriot-like manner to not know the protocols. And having said that, fast forward, we all know the story now, unless you lived in a cave, and if you're not a football fan, I understand, but if you are, especially the Patriots, something's fishy here. Cam Newton was allowed the team said you can go seek a doctor. You can leave the premises, if you will, which is ridiculous in this day and age with all the protocols. Why would he be granted permission to do that? He does, gets tested, but guess what? It didn't meet protocols. He's got to stay away for 5 days. That ends tomorrow. Okay? Now, I give my thoughts on what's going on here, but in a nutshell, Cam Newton gave Bill Belichick every excuse to part ways with him or to bench him and make him the second-string quarterback, even if he didn't want to. Now, and I think he may have to, and he also, what Cam Newton did, would say, Mac, you know what, here's my job. Take it if you want it. And your thoughts there before we get into what Mac did today, because he lit it up.
All right, look, I get it. The Patriots don't, you know, as our good friend Jarvis Green will always tell us, Chips, Bill knows everything that's going on. Bill is well aware of how things need to be run and worked. I think they're not going to throw him under the bus, but Cam acted recklessly, did not care about the team, did not do things, did it because he didn't care. He went about it his way, was going to be his way. Things have changed in the NFL. They are tough on people who haven't gotten a vaccine. If you don't have a vaccine, they are tough. You got to dot the I's, cross the T's. Cam didn't give two shits. And he basically threw the team under the bus and said, I'll do what I want to do. The team is covering up and covering their track huge on this one. And it gives Bill every opportunity to do what Bill hates to do, and that is start a rookie quarterback. Because if he was on the fence before, even though he wasn't seeing it I think he's going to start a rookie now because Cam just like basically threw the team under the bus and didn't care what protocol it was. He was going to do it his way or the highway. And I think the highway is pretty close to him. And it's like, meet the road there, buddy boy, because you're going to be on the bench. Because as you said, Mr. Mac Jones lit it up today, like no tomorrow. Took his opportunity, grabbed the bull by the horns, and ran with it.
Right, right. Joe Furr and Johnny Sentrips here on the blogtalkradio.com live hump day show with Chips and Joe. 516-387-1702 if you want to talk some sports. We're talking a little football now. We'll do a little baseball. We're doing some Patriots, but favorite teams. We had Lou calling from New Jersey last week. He's a Jets fan, and you want to talk about Jets, and we'll get into my Zach Wilson thoughts later, but looking pretty good down there in the Meadowlands for the New Jersey Jets. But I know you mentioned Cam Newton threw him under the bus, and here's my quandary. Because, you know what, dating back to last year, the team knows what they have in Cam Newton. So what happened this past weekend with the 2 days, in my opinion, is on the organization, okay? I could be wrong, but it seems like they're covering for him. Now, here's my quandary. If they are, and Cam Newton comes back, and they just blow, Cam Newton comes back tomorrow, plays well, he's anointed the starter, at what point does this surface again during the year where he may have to miss 1-2 weeks, depending, okay? What does Cam Newton's locker room presence, which was so valuable last year, do to the locker room now? Because granted, the protocols are there, and you can debunk what the protocols are, be it whatever you believe, and you don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason, but if you're going to be on the football field, that's what you have to do. So Cam Newton, just go away if you don't want to take the vaccine or abide to the protocols. And if he doesn't, does he lose the locker room? And does Bill lose the locker room knowing that they're condoning this? This could be a major problem. Bill may have no alternative than to, I don't care how well Newton performs tomorrow, no other choice but to start Cam Newton, to start Mac Jones week one, because not only Cam losing the team, but they're going to look at their coach saying, are you putting us in the best position to win? And you coming into week one and that manifesting during the season, that could really, really get ugly really, really fast.
I got a question. They are home. New England is home this week, right?
They're playing, they're playing the Giants at home Sunday.
So what's Bill going to say when 40,000 strong, because it's not going to be a packed house, 40,000 strong are going to boo the living shit out of Cam Newton if he starts that game. I'm telling you this right now. 40,000 strong, I don't care how good he plays, fans are going to let Bill and the organization know what they feel about this. And you're going to get a standing ovation for Mac Jones the minute he hits the field. I'm calling it right now. I'm saying it.
Yep.
I truly believe that's what will happen. And you know what? You can ignore it all you want, Bill, but you're going to lose the fans to boot if you decide to back up your boy, Cam.
Well, I'll go you one further, Joe. I think the cascades of bulls will start, and there'll be the booing will start tomorrow if he's practicing with the number ones like he's been doing as he would be the starter tomorrow when he's back. So if you want to start the booing early and you can sit on it, the booing will the vitriol will start tomorrow, and it'll manifest itself for 4 days, because not only starting the exhibition game against the Giants as if he were to be the number one would not be enough. If tomorrow, after what Mac Jones did today, and getting literally A's from every tweeter, Patriots.com, NBC Sports Boston.com, everybody, Bill Perry, all the guys out there giving this guy rave reviews, stepping up when he had to, in a competitive full pad practice against the Giants when he was started 8-8 and 7-on-7 drills. So if that manifests tomorrow, that's when it starts. That's when it's going to start. So not only will he start if he starts the game on Sunday, but if he starts tomorrow with the number ones like nothing ever happened, it's going to get ugly not only on Sunday, but God forbid it, in 2 weeks from there against the Miami Dolphins if he starts. I really think that's the case. You're right. We thought the fanfare for Mac Jones a week ago was pretty intense. Well, it's going to be interesting come Sunday on the NFL Network.
Oh, I definitely think it'll be. I want to see what happens, how the fans react, and we'll go for that. And like you said, tomorrow's a big day because let's see what they say and how they act tomorrow, and let's see who gets the reps tomorrow, and see if the Newton gets the number one reps or if it's Mac Jones or if it goes 50-50. But if Mac gets nothing with the start of tomorrow, that's reckless abandon by Bill. No, hands down, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, that he's just being reckless and saying it's a rookie and he doesn't have trust in him. That he may lose, like you said, he may lose the locker room. He may lose the team.
Right.
And especially, well, like you said, if you go later in the year and all of a sudden protocols pop up again, and the same thing happens, how can you cover for him again?
Right. Well, it's not cutting time now, but Bill has the paved-in excuse already there. So it depends on what he does with it. And whatever he says, you just can't believe it because he's not gonna show his cards. He's not gonna do it. I mean, teams are naming their starting quarterbacks right now. Jaguars named Trevor Lawrence the starting quarterback for Week 1. Teddy Bridgewater is the guy in Denver. So I'm not expecting Bill to name his starter. What? What time is the game? What? The Saturday before, maybe, on that Sunday game against Miami. But I mean, whatever he says, I take it with a grain of salt because he's not going to show his hand. It's just what he has to do, regardless of tomorrow. But I think it's a crucial time for the organization, especially on down, and one of these teammates saying, believe me, because if they're doing the right thing, these teammates, by getting vaccinated, and Cam Newton is being reckless and the team's allowing him to, and I'm using air quotes because that's my opinion, then that's not going to permeate through the locker room. It's just not. It's going to create a little dissension, animosity, and that could manifest in a really, really quick way. But we haven't seen this type of drama in New England in a long, long time, Joe.
Oh, I agree. It's like we have not seen any kind of, like, ruffles in a feather and, like, the noise, outside noise, as much as we've heard this week and what we'll hear next week and prior to the season starting of, like, Bill's usually good at keeping the outside noise away. You can't keep this noise quiet because it's just like that. I can't believe I'm, like, it could actually be Cam still starting. It's like, how much more proof positive do you need to drop a guy, just to dump him?
Right, right. I believe we have a guest on the line we aforementioned. Is this Lou?
Yes.
Lou, how are you? Thanks for calling in, man.
Sure. Probably doing better than Cam Newton right now. I mean, he needs to go. That's one thing for sure. But the other thing that's, you know, a big mishap is, with who's going to be the starting quarterback for the Bears in Week 1. All I can say is, what are you guys thinking?
Well, it looks like it's going to be Dalton, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What are you guys thinking? Andy Dalton?
Yes.
Oh, boy. Two words to say about that.
Here's the thing.
My condolences.
Here's the only thing. Then my only reasoning, Lou, and that's a real good point because I'm scratching my head, is that maybe he hasn't grasped the playbook yet. That's it. That can be the only reason because Fields looks pretty good and on the field and he's grasping the plays. Again, it's training camp. But that's the only thing, and we don't know that. If he's not grasping the book, you know, we know he's the guy in waiting, and Dalton didn't look good against a very motivated Buffalo team and Mitchell Trubisky the other day, who was no pun intended, loaded for bear that day. But that's a good point. I'll turn it over to my co-host, Joe, and get his thoughts. But I was scratching my head, too. That's the only reason I can think. He just doesn't have a hold of the playbook, but he's going to be the guy.
No, he doesn't.
Before long. Joe, your thoughts?
All right, so right now they predicted Mac Jones would be the most NFL-ready quarterback, and he's proven it.
Yes.
So maybe right now he's not ready, as my partner in crime, Chip, said. He may not be grasping the playbook. He may not be seeing things because that hit to the head that he took the other day is clear that he's not aware of all the problems around him because I was clear to the quarterback, and he's like he wasn't looking the other way. But he just may not be ready to start an NFL game. I'm not saying he won't stop before the end of the season. There's always, look, he's going to stop before the end of the season. But why are you going to rush a young kid into getting his life crushed in front of him just because you want him to start first week one? If the team's not ready, if he's not ready, then you bring him along slowly if you have to. You try to survive with Dalton, which you probably want to do. And it's not saying that week three, week four, week five, that you could see Fields in there as the starting quarterback right now. That's the coach's decision. He feels that the kid is not ready. And it's like he may not be saying that, but that could be the ultimate truth is the kid's not ready, hasn't grasped the playbook. Hey, maybe his ego is too big going in there. There's a lot of things that people aren't saying. But there's a lot of things that could be could be happening, and it's just they're not, you know, the whole picture hasn't come out yet. So on the outside, it looks like they're making a mistake, but are they really making a mistake? It's like, oh, are they protecting the kid? We'll find out with weeks to come.
Lou, I got to get your thoughts on your guy, because your quarterback, Zach Wilson, is far and away looked the best out of any of these young rookie quarterbacks coming up.
So far,
but I like what I see. And if you're looking at just the cumulative, you know, the preseason notwithstanding, Zach, out of the five quarterbacks drafted, Zach Wilson is number five. And I want to get your thoughts on him, and I want to also get your thoughts, Lou. I'm surprised Trevor Lawrence is starting in Jacksonville with that offensive line, because Gardner Minshew is a pretty decent quarterback, and I think Urban Meyer may be just rushing this kid a little too soon because he looks like a deer in the headlights. So tell me about what you're seeing from Zach Wilson and your thoughts on Trevor Lawrence.
Well, I think Lawrence, you know, I mean, he was drafted number one as a starting quarterback. I think maybe they see something in that. Maybe most of us don't. You know, I'm not really selling that yet. Wilson, you know, fine the preseason, but let's see what he does in the real season right now. I mean, he's doing well so far, not a lot of mistakes, but when the real season comes, because now we lost two of our from the defensive side, so that was a big blow to us. So we have to rely now on Zach to help us with our offense. Otherwise, it's going to be just like it was last season, which I'm hoping it's not. So good signs are fine in the preseason, but let's see what holds once the regular season begins. Because this is worrying me a bit with our defensive side.
Who'd you lose?
Lou. Hey, Lou, go ahead.
Lou, who'd you guys lose?
We lost a couple of our defensive players. Just let me get to my source here. When I read about on yesterday, it's like, well, that's all we need, because, you know, every time we think we're going to get somebody, you know, good to come along, you know, it always turns out, you know, this another mishap occurs.
Lou, you play fantasy football, I'm assuming, right?
I've tried, but I suck.
Okay. But anyway, so my point is, the arrow's pointing upward on your New York Jets. And I like the last time I talked to you, and before you go, you can promote your podcast too, and we thank you for calling. But the arrow's pointing up, and it all starts with the culture. And you're going to notice that culture change as this season goes along. And it's just you watch the sideline, you watch the camaraderie. There's some good players on that Jets team, and you got a good coach to surround yourself with some talent. And for the first time in a long time, sir, you have a quarterback that is a franchise-type player. So that's a good thing. And just stay healthy. And you made a good point. When you lose players, you got to come out of the preseason staying healthy as a team.
We lost our linebacker, Jared Davis, number one. That was a blow right there.
Mm-hmm. It's always tough losing a good linebacker because, like, you depend on – We found that out firsthand, the Patriots. If you lose too many linebackers, like they play nickel and dime too much, and it's like it's not a pretty sight when teams run down your throat.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Lou, promote your podcast. We have another call coming in.
Okay.
Lou.
Yeah.
You want to promote your show?
You sent another call, though, so I was going to go. But if you got time on Saturday, you can check out my show, Enhanced Sports Show, from 5 to 7 if you can. Number to call is 512-543-4662.
Lou, thanks. It sounds great. Thanks for calling in, buddy. Take care of yourself.
You got it. Thank you.
Okay, and we're going to go right back to the phones from the 339. There we go. 339. Who do you have the pleasure of speaking with here?
Hey, Chips, it's Rob. How's it going?
Rob, what's going on, man? It's the area code. Throw me off, brother. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you? Joe sent me the link for the show today, so I figured to call you guys and, you know, chat it up a little bit.
So Joe was trying to become the number one producer at E2G Sports.
Hey, whatever gets the ball rolling, right?
You bet, man. How you doing, man? What's on your mind today, Robert?
Not much. When you guys were talking about football, a specific question for you guys about the Patriots. What, in your mind, is the main concern for this team? For me right now, it's the wide receiver position. I was just calling to see what you guys kind of thought.
Joe, go ahead. I'll start.
I agree with you on the wide receiver position because Jacoby Myers, to me, is Mr. Steady. It look, he's grown a little bit. But no, I've said it before, and Chips will back me up. Nelson Aguilar is the most overrated wide receiver we signed in a long, long time. He's not as valuable as that contract says he is. I'm not a fan of his. He's not a great route runner. Kendrick Bourne drops the ball way too much. I got a buddy that's a San Francisco fan, diehard. He said Bourne had the drops these last year, and oh wait, the other day in a nice 2-point conversion, right in the square of his hand, and he couldn't catch the ball. So that's two receivers that we're dependent on that I don't have enough faith in and trust in. And Kill Harry, he has his great practices, but he can't relate that into the game. And I don't see him getting any distance. I don't see him getting any open. Cornerbacks are covering him way too easy. He doesn't have the breakaway speed, and he just can't get free or open. And so I agree with you. Like, it's very big question mark on the Patriots this year.
And I'm gonna do two. I'm gonna do one on offense, and I think the offensive line. This may be the most important year for the Patriots offensive line in a long time, maybe before Brady, because it seems to me with the running back core, and we've seen they look pretty good. I mean, they're very diversified. Get outside, catch the ball. Stevenson looks like a stud. Damian Harris is a freaking sculpted Greek god. So they're gonna run the ball and run it with ease. I think that's gonna be their bread and butter. So it's up to the offensive line to really fire off the ball. The receivers have to be there too, Rob. I'm a little worried about Hunter Henry and his health. I think the tight ends are going to have to stave off the depletion of the receivers. But my biggest worry on this team, you've done all this offensively to load up. J.C. Jackson plays out of position. He's going to be exposed. They need Stephon Gilmore to play well, and they need to get him in camp now because he's a stud player. I'm not even talking about the money, but you need him on the field. And you can't expect him to come on the field to, you know, during Wednesday before week one and be up to speed football-wise. It's just not going to happen. They need him to spell something off of J.C. Jackson and just to make that a complete secondary. If not, it's going to hurt them because teams will be able to pass on him because it's a passing league. So get Gilmore in there soon, man. Defensively, that's the biggest thing. But wide receivers are right there as well.
Fair enough.
Rob, I got a question for you. How'd your baseball season down in Virginia go? How was it?
It was pretty good. It was obviously a lot different weather than here. I heard you guys got poured on all summer long. In Virginia, it wasn't as bad.
Right.
Statistically, the season didn't go very well. We finished, I think, was 12 or 13 games below 500. But it was a really good group, and it was a really good organization to be around. So I enjoyed it, but I'm glad to be back here and doing the show with Adam and Brad every Thursday, and it's good.
Rob, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Rob is one of the hosts of the Double Steel Baseball Show, Thursday night at 8:30 on blogtalkradio.com, part of the E2G Sports Network. And our baseball guy, he's Rob Marcello. Rob, thanks for calling in, man. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. You guys have a good day and great rest of the show.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Rob. They are the number one rated show as of now with E2G Sports. And well,
they get some listeners.
So we take over.
Rob's doing some good things down in Virginia, doing some minor league baseball, making some contacts. And if you're in this business, because I've been in it for a while, the more contacts you get, the more people you know, and you just give yourself the chance, and you focus on it. That's all. That's it. Stay ready for the opportunity. Bingo. That's all it is. But lots going on in football. But, hey, we get some baseball, too, because it is the end of August, and we're ramping up meaningful games in September. What say you at 516-387-1702? Once again, 516-387-1702. We're going to step aside for 1 minute, and we are going to – hold on a second, Joe. Bear with me. Yes, I'm going to step aside for just a moment, if I can find that. There we go. We're going to step aside for one moment and take a little break, and we'll go from there. So anyway, you're listening to The Hump Day Show with Chip Sindel on blogtalkradio.com. Where are you?
Looking for all your game day gear? Stop by edgsports.com/shop for all your upcoming season needs. Powered by Fanatics. That's edgsports.com/gear. Brought to you by Fanatics.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson Disease Association.
Can I take a show with Chips and Joe, and just an update on the Sean Thornton Foundation tournament, golf tournament, which has had to be rescheduled from this past Monday thanks to Hurricane Henri. That is rescheduled for September 30th. So go on e2gsports.com, scroll down a little bit, you see the Sean Thornton Foundation, click on there, you get all the information you need. September 30th, Sean Thornton Foundation golf tournament, always a good cause here on the E2G Sports Network. But again, we're back on blogtalkradio.com with this Hump Day edition with Chips and Joe, 516-387-1702. 516-387-1702. Thanks to Rob Marcello, our resident co-host on E2DSports.com's podcast of the Double Steel Baseball Show. And thanks to Lou from New Jersey, our resident New York Jets fan. Joe Foran, Johnny Sun Chips here for you. We're going to go into the baseball coming up in a little bit. We'll have our top five at five, but Joe, I want to talk a little bit about just checking up the playoffs, what's going on here with the Red Sox this past week and where they sit now. What are your thoughts? Big win against the Twins last night. You'd never think it by the way they played in the fair reaction, but right now it's the Yankees at the number one wild card spot, the Red Sox number two, two games ahead of the Oakland A's. So I want to get your thoughts on where they sit now. And we're still waiting for this team to turn a corner, Joe. And I want to ask you, because right now it seems to me this team's going to have to mash the ball like they did the first half of the year if they are going to make it to the wild card playoffs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, because now all of a sudden Matt Barnes is having issues closing out games where he was an absolute stud the first half of the year. Now all of a sudden he's got the yips and he can't close out a game. And it's like Ottavino is going to have to step it up a notch, and we're going to have to find somebody else to possibly step it up a notch, because, you know, now we get the starters going a little bit deeper, and now the bullpen is imploding on us way too often, and it's like something that we can't have, and now we got to stop mashing the ball and hitting the ball more and getting scoring more runs just to win a game or just to have a chance to win a game. So, I mean,
right.
I would like to see the bullpen show it up a little bit and stop walking people right and left and go from there. If the bullpen can show it up a little bit, I think we got a chance at least. Hey, look, nothing better than a wild card game. New York Red Sox Yankees in a one game wild card. Can we say 1978 mm-hmm. we visited a one game to get into the playoffs? That would be nothing better than seeing the Red Sox and Yankees in a one game all or nothing game. I would love to see it. But we gotta get there first. We gotta get there, we gotta finish this out and get there.
You made a good point too, and I was thinking that too before the show. I was thinking about, you know, we have all the drivers thinking Sox Yankees, one game play. Then I thought of all, you know, you think back to 78, you think back in 1999 with Pedro, you think back in 2003, you know, with Brett, with Aaron Boone, you think of 2004 with the down 3-0 coming back. As exciting as those were, you're looking at something maybe more exciting, a one-game single elimination. So you can, you talk about escalating the excitement level. I mean, you talk pins and needles personified. If it's Sox and Yankees for a one-game playoff to represent, to advance in the playoffs this year, it wouldn't get any better than that. I never thought I would say that, Joe. That's a really good point on your part.
Oh, look, Red Sox, Yankees, I don't care. Look, Cubs and St. Louis Cardinals fans can argue this to the blue in the face. You're not going to get a better than the Red Sox, Yankees. It's like there's no rivalry beats it. You can say what you want out there, but no rivalry even comes close. in my book anyways, than New York, Boston. It's like a rivalry. One game that would be hyped up and would be great baseball. Must see TV. If I could steal a Miz line.
I agree. You're right. But anyway, you got to get there first. But so I'm still, you know, as bad as this team has played, and they can resurrect their season right now. And as crazy as it was last night, you know, we were up 9-3 to the lowly Twins, and the Twins fought back against the bullpen. But, you know, Robles came in, and when he came in, I was like, oh, man, here comes the gas can. And he ended up getting the save. But Barnes, I mean, to me it looks like this. If you look back, go on Google and look back at some of his earlier games. He was just rearing back and just firing the ball. You know what? Throw it by me. See if you can beat my best. Pitch in, pitch out. It's not that way. He threw that fastball to Donaldson, and Donaldson cranked it out, and then it was, oh, my God, what do I do? He's got to get back to that basics. His confidence right now is not there. So you made a good point in the closing position. Do we look at a guy like Whitlock? You put him in that position, coming off Tommy John. He's great in his role. Or do you keep shoveling Barnes out there? So that's a work in progress, and it's scary to say that with just over 30 games that you're still looking for your closer. Can you Band-Aid it? Maybe. But you got to find a solution. I'm not sure they can do it, hence having to hit the hell out of the ball to get to that point. Renter looked really good last night. Verdugo's a spark. Bogarts is coming around. Martinez endeavors. But the errors are killing this team, Joe. They're 28th out of 30 in fielding percentage. We talked about it ad nauseum during the year. Pitchers are walking people. They're just as bad as errors in the field. They keep this up. I mean, they're not going to go far. I mean, they're not going to get there. It's amazing. It's almost like I'm almost more impressed where they are right now based on how they played in the past 4 or 5 weeks. Your thoughts there?
Oh, no, look, I get it. And it's like, and the Robles, here's a guy who reminds me of. It's called Major Leagues, guy named Vaughn. Because he's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball that he can blaze by people. The problem is
yep.
He can't control it. If he could control it and pinpoint it, he would be unhittable. Unfortunately, he can't keep the ball in the strike zone. And it's like last night, fine, he struck out two guys. But there's going to be times when he comes out there and he's going to walk the ballpark, and we can't afford that. So you got a guy like Bonds who all of a sudden has lost his confidence. You got to use Ontiveros. You got to use Whitlock. I get it. You don't want to use the kid who's a Rule 5 pick, but maybe he might have to step into that role. Find the guy. Hey, wait. Here's a guy I would try. No offense, but I would try Garrett Richards. No, look. Throw everything at it. You're thrown for one inning. You don't have to worry about saving yourself for multi-innings. Go out there. Garrett Richards has got a good decent fastball. He's got good movement on his changeups, on his off speed. He may be a guy, Derek Lowe 2.0. You got to try something, because you just can't keep shoveling Bonds out there and hope for the best. So you got to find somebody else who can step up into that role. Find them, use them. And I hate to say it, but that's the only way it's going to happen. And you better do it quick, because you can't keep having 9-3 leads and run for your life and barely win a game 11-9. You're gonna die quickly doing that way, and you're fighting for a playoff spot. So, you know, and like you said, the errors are killing us. It's like you can't give major league teams 4 outs and in, 5 outs and in. Put guys on base, because that's gonna kill you. It's like it's a free pass. It's like you don't even need to get a hit. It's like all of a sudden they're on base. You got a couple of guys on base, free passes. All it takes is one hit. Things like that are killing them right now, and they gotta clean it up real quick, because the finish line is right there. You're 18 games away from the playoffs. 18 games, one game at a time. It's your do or die. Every game is a playoff game now to the end of the season.
Right, and you mentioned Garrett Richards, who's really settled into his role, as well as Martin Perez. Those guys didn't like what happened, and I get that. They have egos. But Richard looked pretty good the other night in long relief. Kept the team at bay. That's what you need. Put a Band-Aid on it. Maybe what the doctor ordered. So you're right. You mix and match. And, you know, these guys will get over it once in a while and realize that they're, you know, right now if you're Richards and you're Perez, you do whatever you can for your team because you want to make it to the playoffs. That's it. Everything, nothing else matters now. So swallow your pride. get to your role and go from there. And that's it. But, you know, you talked about the Red Sox and what they're doing. And I'm looking at their schedule now. They're playing, Minnesota in tonight, and I'm waiting for my computer to go. But some interesting games. And there's no pushovers with the team anymore, Joe. They beat Minnesota last night. Tonight, obviously, and Thursday, the Minnesota Twins are at home. They go to Cleveland for three. And there are no pushovers with this team, the Red Sox team, because we don't know if they're going to be consistent enough. So to say they need to win two out of three is an understatement. They may need to sweep. But it wouldn't surprise me if Minnesota wins the next two. It wouldn't surprise me if Cleveland wins two out of three. And then Tampa Bay, they go to Tampa Bay for four. It wouldn't surprise me there. I think the division's, a foregone conclusion. But you made a good point with that. So, we're going to see what this team is. Every game's an adventure, but every game is another guy stepping up. And Cora, I want to get your thoughts on this. I've never seen Alex Cora show so much frustration when they put the camera on in the dugout. It's amazing to me. He has got to be beside himself because he is looking around saying, guys, can you give me an at-bat? Can you give me an RBI? Can you drive it around with runners in scoring position with less than two out? Can you stop making an error? Can you turn a double play? Can you give me a batter, you guys, in the bullpen? Can you give me an out? Can you pitch me an inning, for God's sakes? He looks as frustrated this season as I've ever seen.
A frustration may not be of the players. That frustration, towards the players, but that frustration has to be towards the management who didn't get him anybody, and he's going to deal with what he's got. And it's like, of course it's frustrating because get me an out. Stop walking, guys. It's like he's going to be pulling out his hair going, what am I going to do? Do I need to go out there and play the field to catch the ball? Major League ball plays, come on. And it's not like it's hard plays. It's not like it's questionable errors. It's just balls hit to the guys that they should be catching. No ifs, ands, or buts. Get the job done. Concentrate. Stop being lackadaisical. And a little, it's all about concentration. Be into the game. And these pitches, I mean, at this time of the year, you're still walking, guys. You can't work on your mechanics. You've had 140 games to work on it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Right.
And yeah, of course, I would think you'd be aggravated. He's frustrated out of his mind because all of a sudden you fell off a cliff. You literally fell off the cliff in the second half. You were going smooth sailing, not smooth sailing, but you were getting past your mistakes. Now they're not doing enough good things to get past those same mistakes they've made in the first half. They were just covered up by all those comebacks, enough timely hitting to get by. Now you're not getting any timely hitting, no timely pitching. So as a team, they've fallen apart. It's not just one area of the team. It's the whole team that's kind of falling apart at once.
He's Joe Ferrin. I'm Johnny Sunchips. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go over our This Day in Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday. Obviously, our top five power rankings. See who's come, see who's gone, see who's won number one, see who's number five, and maybe we'll talk about some of the fringe teams on the verge of breaking into our top five. And MLB.com has released their rankings of the top 30 farm system. We'll see where your favorite team ranks. We're going to take a moment, step aside, get some air, get a breath of water. When we come back, more Joe Foran and Johnny Sunsets on the E2G Sports podcast on blogtalkradio.com. This is the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. We'll be back after this.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting ThorntonFoundation.org or E2GSports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson Disease Association. Looking for all your game day gear? Stop by edgsports.com/shop for all your upcoming season needs. Powered by Fanatics. That's edgsports.com/gear. Brought to you by Fanatics.
And Fanatics, we all are if you're a sports junkie like Joe and I. Welcome back to the Hump Day Show. Chips and Joe here for you on Wednesday. A little later than our normal 1 p.m. Eastern start. It's about 5:20 p.m. right now. Sort of in mid-afternoon, have dinner. Hopefully we don't ruin your appetite. Hopefully we increase your appetite as you go into dinner. But if you want to join us, Joe and I, on blogtalkradio.com live right now, please do. 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702, part of the E2G Sports Network. We are the Unsung Sports Grid. Before we get into our top five at five, our resident pirate buddy, Joe Forand, as we normally do, kind of a kidding thing, but may turn serious. And if you know, if you've tuned into the show at all, one of my quests before Christmas, it would be my biggest gift in a long time, Joe. Nothing left. Just admit verbally that you're a Pittsburgh Pirate fan, and I will rest easy, and I'll feel comfortable. No more angst, no more anger, and I'll be at peace with myself. And it's like living on a desert island, strawberry milk, and granola bars.
Yeah, what,
that's it.
Foreign food pantry's delivery will be coal. Three things of coal in a set.
Oh, nothing. Yeah, they are resident bleepity bleep as he is. Anyway, Joe. So let's go. We might as well, right? Let's keep it going. This day in Pittsburgh Pirates history. I'm going to start off now because I have two. This day in Pittsburgh Pirates history. They both involve White Sox, to be honest. In 1959, on this day, August 25th, the White Sox traded Major League infielder Bob Sagers, or minor league infielders Bob Sagers, and offense and outfielder Harry Simpson to the Pirates for Ted Kluszewski, who was a first baseman. The big clue, as they call it, is 34 years old, looking long in the tooth. He was acquired for the stretch run. He hit 391 with 10 RBIs for the eventual American League champion White Sox in that year's World Series. They didn't win it, but nonetheless, that was a big trade. Kluszewski, I believe, is a Hall of Famer, a big old slugger. This day, August 25th in the year 2020, White Sox right-hander Louis Giolito, which is, this is just last year, throws a no-hitter versus the Pirates at Guaranteed Rate Field. Giolito faced 28 batters, one over the minimum, walked one, 13 strikeouts, 101 pitches thrown, and if I'm not mistaken, he is going for the White Sox tonight in their game. So, you know, little Chicago tie-in on this day, August 25th, and those are my days in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates franchise. Joe, I know you're gleaming. Your cheeks are red. Your smile is ear to ear. I know it. I can see it. Tell us.
All right, so this week in Pirates history, I got two. This week in Pirates history, a guy named Al Oliver, 2 days ago, went 5 of 6, 5 RBIs, 4 runs scored versus the Atlanta Braves. He did that for the Pittsburgh Pirates on this day in 1971. The other one is this day is the Pittsburgh Pirates acquired Wilbur Cooper, the franchise winningest pitcher at 202 wins. They purchased his contract from Columbus of the American Association 109 years ago on this day in Pittsburgh Pirates history.
There he is. There's the Pittsburgh Pirate Encyclopedia, otherwise known as Joe Forand, here on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. But, hey, and if you want to join me in my quest, guys, call up at 516-387-1702 and just kind of just egg Joe on a little bit. He needs a little support. He knows me well enough. I needle him all the time. If you people call us now or call us whenever we're live on every Wednesday on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe. Again, 516-387-1702. And have him pledge his allegiance to the Pittsburgh Pirates, you will be forever in my debt. Trust me, there may be a little snippet, maybe a little koozie, maybe a little thing down the line where we can reward a certain caller if you help me in my quest. Be that as it may,
just
we digress.
Just a little rant here, Chips. Just proof positive to the E2G fans out there who want to go to E2G Sports that we are more than just the Northeast Corridor of baseball, football, hockey, and basketball. We do all of the United States in sports, so don't forget that.
I agree. Good things coming here and there on the Unsung Sports Grid, known as the E2G Sports Network. Lots of things going on. Met with some people last night. And if I may, Galen and the guys, Galen and MJ and those dudes, they go on an MGM show tonight on the Blog Talk Radio, E2GSports.com podcast. With their MGM, they call it, a little sports, a little entertainment, but they will be hitting on some Patriots. Little Birdie told me they'll probably get on some baseball as well. They may sprinkle in a little entertainment. So I believe that's at 8 p.m., I think, they go live. But double check. I'll see if I can get our crack staff to get on it because I've been slacking here doing some work for the show. But MGM tonight on blogtalkradio.com, part of the E2G Sports Radio Network. But without further ado, we're going to go into our weekly, and we had a hiatus last week, so we've had 2 weeks to think about this. Teams have fallen, teams have risen, teams have stayed set. It is without further ado, in about the last 35 minutes we have, to unveil to you this week's top five at five, our top five Major League Baseball teams right here, right now, as Joe and I see it, at 5:25 p.m., August 25th of 2021, Eastern Standard Time. Joe, I'll let you start again from 5 to 1. Let's do it. We do it every week. I'm pretty psyched. Who you got? Tell me what. Number 5.
Number 5 starts out with the Milwaukee Brewers, who are 77-49. 7-3 the last 10 games. They've got a three-game winning streak. They are 41-20 in the division. They are 15-6 in the month of August. They are plus 120 runs score differential on the year. They are 35-28 at home. They are 42-21 away, which surprised me, but they're a much better away team. They only have key here, they only have two walk-off losses. So only twice have they blown a lead of that and lost. They are 18-12 in one-run games. They have four games at the Giants at the end of August, beginning of September, which is key. That could play a pivotal role in that West Division. A guy named Brett Sutter is 12-5, 2.97 ERA out of the bullpen. Devin Williams is 7-1, 2.14, also out of the bullpen. Burns is 8-4, who was going to be my Cy Young Award sleeper, but he hasn't done it. 8-4, 2.30 ERA, but he does have 180 Ks in 130 innings pitched. They are second lowest home runs allowed, second in Ks. Garcia is leading the way with 24 home runs, 75 RBIs, 274 batting average. Willie Adams has 17 home runs, 50 RBIs, 295 batting average. Urias has 16 home runs, 55 RBIs, and 248 batting average. So they seem to be running away with the Central Division, even though the Reds are keeping up and making some waves. But as of now, the Milwaukee Brewers are my number five team in the top five.
And I'm going to echo your sentiments as well. And if you look at the Brewers, like you said, first in the NL Central, that division is pretty much a lock unless they stumble. 8.5 games ahead of the second place Reds. They're plus 120 in run differential. 41-20 in the division, 18-12 in run games, so they play it close. 28 versus the NL West, and we know what the NL West is like. And they are 24-10 since the break, 11-3 in their last 14. Offensively, you know, mediocre, maybe a little better. 24th in batting average, 12th in homers, 11 in runs scored. They're 17th in slugging, 12th in on-base percentage. Avendio Garcia leads the team in all major offensive categories, and that's, you know, 274 average, so he's getting it done. Catcher Omar Nevarez, 11 homers, 42 RBIs, a solid 292 out of the catcher spot. I'll take that any day of the week. Six players and double-digit homers. You mentioned the pitching staff. Balance. Brett Suter, 12-5 out of the pen. His previous season high of wins in his five previous years is 8. If you look up and down this staff, they mirror the Tampa Bay Rays. And if you remember a couple years ago, I think it was Council's first year in 2019, they started, that was in Tampa, went for that bullpen game. Milwaukee was right there with them, and that's what they do. Go up and down this pitching staff, and there are several teams that have four, five wins. So that's what the analytics will do, and they're doing it with success. I give them credit. I don't know if it's postseason success savvy against teams with a lot of power, like the Dodgers, like the Giants, like the Atlanta Braves, who are all of a sudden ripping it up. We don't know, but the Brewers are doing everything right now with that balanced pitching staff, and they're getting away with it. I give them credit. Craig Counsell's managed this team. He has a good feel for it. They're 27th in fielding percentage, which may come back to haunt him. Top five in quality starts, strikeouts, ERA, and wins. Pitching's carrying the team. Defense is keeping them involved. They're winning close. They're winning late if they have to. That's a good thing. I don't know if it's going to withstand in the playoffs. They're going to be there at the end, at least to get in. But I don't know about their long-term success. Upcoming games, up tonight and tomorrow, they take on the Cincinnati Reds to finish that three-game series. They're at Minnesota for three and at San Francisco for four. Number one in the AL Central and doing it well, but they also, like Joe, are my number five team in this week's top five in my power rankings on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe.
And my number four team, hate them with a passion, but I can't put them any higher than four because the teams above them have done what they've done. But my number four team right now is the New York Yankees, who have come out of nowhere, plus 48 run differential. But they are 19-4 in August, 21-12 in one-run games. They got an 11-game win streak, first time in, like, forever. I forgot when they said what they said for the year, but first time 11-game. It was the first time the other night when the Braves and the Yankees played that two 9-game win streaks faced each other this late in the season in, like, 40 years. So, I mean, they 39-25 at home, 35-27 away. Here's the telling stat, though, with the Yankees. They're 27-30 against the Eastern Division. So against the Red Sox, the only team they're feasting on right now is the Baltimore Orioles and the West and Central. They have 8 walk-off losses, which is they seem to have straightened that out, but a lot of those losses came early in the year when the bullpen would implode. Gerrit Cole's leading the way with 12-6 record, 2.92 ERA. Losiata, I couldn't even pronounce this guy's name properly. I guess it's probably Hacker, but he's 8-4, 2.30 out of the bullpen. They've got the most saves in the AL with 40 saves. Chapman has 23. Green has 6. Talon is 8-4, 3.94 ERA. They have a 3.61 collective ERA, which is number one in the AL. Not number one in baseball, but number one ERA in the AL, which has kept them in a lot of games. They are second in the AL in K's with 1,190, so they're striking out a lot of guys as a pitching staff. They're led by the aforementioned Judge, Marco Stanton, and Sanchez. Judge has 27 homers, 65 RBIs, 285 batting average. Stanton is coming along from his woeful earlier start, 22 home runs, 65 RBIs, 267 batting average. Sanchez is still a strikeout and home run king because he's got 17 home runs, 42 RBIs, and a woeful 19 batting average. But right now, the Yankees have teamed to get everything going at the right time. They are, like I said, 74-52, so they've gotten it going. They've caught up to the Red Sox. They've passed the Red Sox. They are now sitting at the number one position in the wild card. I don't see them overtaking Tampa Bay in the division, but I see them, at least they seem to have righted the ship enough to make the playoffs, which is, for now, will keep fans a little bit happy. But as of now, they are my number 14 power ranking.
And they are my number 14 as well. And heels of what you said, I think they can overtake the Tampa Bay Rays the way they're playing because they're 4 games behind. You mentioned the run differential and the 11 straight wins. 28-9 since the break. So say whatever you want. They've been able to turn their season around because, like me, and I was wrong, I buried them. I buried them a long time ago. Listen to this, Joe. 20-4 in their last 24 games decided by 1 or 2 runs. They're getting it done in close games, which they hadn't been doing. 50 in their 11-game win streak. They are outscoring their opposition 58-27. And the reason they weren't the Yankees of the past few seasons because they were not hitting the ball. They are now. And don't let the numbers fool you. They're number 20th in batting average. They've creeped up. They're number 10 in homers. That's gotten better. Number 16 in stolen bases. I never thought I would say that. Look at the infusion when they brought those kids up, when all the COVID stuff broke out, injected a little life into this team. That goes under the radar. Those kids coming up from Scranton who are just playing for their jobs, really injected some life into these complacent guys who were just swinging for the fences. That was big, and that may go back as a turning point of the season, regardless of Rizzo, regardless of Haney. I look back at that as a catalyst, and I'll stand by it until I'm proven wrong. five players in double-digit homers. They're 20th in slugging percentage. You mentioned Stanton. He can carry the team, and he has in August. Six homers, 19 RBIs, 11 walks. He's batting .320 with an OPS of 1,034, and he's slugging at a robust and hot .613. His last 7 days, three homers, seven RBIs, .320 batting average. If he gets it right, they can overtake the Rays. The closer situation was in flux. Looks like it has righted itself. Chapman was the guy. The team is top five in wins, ERA saves. So all things are pointing up with this Yankee team, and I don't like them either, but you got to give them credit where it's due. They're playing well. They are number 22 in fielding percentage, but this team's rolling right now. And Brett Boone, who was under fire, is just sitting back and letting these guys hit and letting them find their form. They did it last year in that 60-game season. They were 20-20 with 20 games left, and they turned it on. They're doing it again in the longer season. I still don't think they're built for the postseason unless the pitching gets better. I'm not sure, but maybe it's a year where they just break out and they slug the hell out of it to get to a World Series. That remains to be seen. They begin a four-game series at Oakland starting tomorrow. They then go to at the LA Angels for three, come home to face the lowly Baltimore Angels for three. They're number two and climbing in the American League East, number one in the wild card right now if the season ended, but they are number four, the New York Yankees, looking every bit the Bronx Bombers in my Major League Baseball top five spots on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe.
All right, so leads me to our number three team, which is the team above the Red Sox and Yankees, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays, who are 15-6 in August. They have a plus 152 run differential, 39-18 in the division. There's the difference between the Yankees and the Rays right now is the division record. And it's like, I question how this team gets it done, because you look at it as like, they're led, like the Brewers, by Kittredge out of his bullpen, who was 8-2, 1.37 ERA. Fleming, who's out of the bullpen, 10-6, 4.71 ERA. McClanahan, 8-4, 3.63 ERA. They have a 3.67 collective ERA as a team. They are, I forgot to mention, they're 7-3 in the last 10 games. They have a three-game win streak. I mean, so the pitching's kept... The hitting, it boggles my mind because Lowe has 29 homers, 75 RBIs, batting .235. Zunino, 26 homers, 48 RBIs, .209 batting average. Austin Meadows, 21 home runs, 58 RBIs, .236 batting average. Nazarena, only has 16 homers, 54 RBIs, but he's batting .275. So, I mean... It's just crazy that how they're getting there. They're third in the AL in fielding percentage. That's one of the reasons why they're kept in games, because the fielders don't give any extra outs to the other teams. They're not giving away outs, and they're keeping it close. The pitching is keeping them in it. They're doing enough hitting and have enough power. They have the second most amount of runs in the AL with 667. So, I mean, they're scoring enough runs. They're doing enough pitching. Keep them in games. I say they'll keep it up and keep the Bronx Bombers away. You say differently. So let's see what happens. Let's see if they can or cannot keep the Yankees at bay. And even with the Yankees at bay, can they keep the Red Sox? If the Red Sox get hot, with the Yankees fighting, will it be a three-way race to the end? Let's find out.
Right.
But as of now, my number three team is the Tampa Bay Rays.
Right. Now, I'm not sure they'll overtake the Yankees will overtake them, but I think the Yankees can. But if you're a Yankee fan and you look at the history of the last 4 or 5 years, you don't want to face this team in the playoffs because they've owned you. And the only saving grace is if you play them in the playoffs, Yankee fans, you don't have the Rays, Tyler Glass now, which is even more of a compelling story because they're my number three team as well. You mentioned their record in the East, plus 152 run differential. They're 29-24 versus left-handed pitching. The division record speaks for itself, 14-4 in their last 18. You mentioned the offense, number two in RBIs. They have five players in double-digit homers, Brandon Lau ripping the cover off the ball, Offensively, they're number 16th in batting average, 7th in homers, 13th in overall hits. They are 8 in stolen base. They do strike out a lot, so they're fitting right in. Piddly analytics, Joe, which leads you to think that with, you know, the, all the homers, they're getting men on base, but they're striking out a lot as well. And Randy Arozarena, I didn't think he could handle this too well, but 116 hits in his first full season. You mentioned that because coming off the World Series last year, it was tough to live up to that point, but he's showing every bit the rookie. And Juan DeFranco, I mean, I'm afraid to say it, but this team's DNA is now as of a winning ball club. It really is. Say what you want about the youth. Say what you want about how they put the team together, the minor league system. But this team's DNA is now one of the better teams in all of baseball for reasons a lot different than what we've seen in the past 20 years. 9 pitches with 4 or more wins. That tells you the balance. Josh Fleming, 10 wins. I'm looking down. Tyler Glasnow, it says 5 wins. He's not even in. Andrew Kittredge, 8 wins. So they're getting as much as they can out of all these pitches that they have, and that's balance. One player on the active roster has an average of 90 pitches per start. So they're rested. They're well because they are that balanced. So they'll beat you in many different ways. They'll come at you with guns. You know, you can't get used. You won't see these pitches 2 or 3 times around. We get into the Blake Snell stuff last year. That may be something that they may have to exercise and do something differently. But they're top 5 in only 1 category, and that's wins. So they're getting it done. And, oh, by the way, number 9 in fielding percentage. The Rays are the real deal. And I'll say it again. If you're going to do it, you go out and get Cruz. Just, you know, Tampa, I know you're a small market. But if you're going to win a World Series, do it and set the expectation, set the bar higher next year. Do it and go away. But their upcoming games are at Philly tonight. They're starting Friday. They go at Baltimore for 3 in their home, entertaining the Boston Red Sox. We're in critical 4, kind of salting away that division. I'm going to say they're going to win the division as well. Wouldn't surprise me about the Yankees, but this team's the real deal, and they ain't going to – there's no – I'd be shocked if they're out of my top 5 from here on out. But right now, they're first in the American League East with a 7-8-48 record, but they are number 3 in my power rankings on a hump day show with Chips and Joe, top 5.
I was about ready to say 205, but it's like, yeah, nope, well, different time.
Yeah.
So it leads up to my number 2 team in the power rankings of mine. And, well, what a surprise. They both sit in the NL West because right now my number 2 team is the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are 79-47. They are 9-1. They've got a 1-game win streak, but they are plus 207 runs. They're 33-20 in the division. And this record with 8 walkovers that they have, they are 16-4 in August. So they are definitely heating up, coming around, they're becoming the team we thought they would be. They're bringing it together. They are 42-21 at home, 37-26 away. The Reyes, it's 14-3, 2.11 ERA. Mr. Buehler is 13-2 with 3.17 ERA. Max Scherzer, who they got at the trade deadline, is 3-0 with a 2.11 ERA. Jansen has 28 saves. He seems to have straightened his act out, where he's a little off early in the year. But Trennan out of the bullpen has 4 saves, 2.13 ERA. So they got a two-headed monster now. They've got somebody to back Jansen up. They got a 3.06 ERA, which is number 1 in baseball. They've only given up 445 runs, which is number 1 in the NL. They've got 1,258 Ks as a pitching staff, which is number 1. Mm-hmm. So collectively, the pitchers get it done. As far as offense goes, Max Muncy, 28 homers, 76 RBIs, 265 batting average. Jake Turner has 21 homers, 70 RBIs, 286 batting average. Will Smith, 19 homers, 60 RBIs, 258 batting average. 18 homers, 66 RBIs, 280. All these guys batting about 260 to 280 consistent. Mr. Pollock, 19 home runs, 53 RBIs, 307 batting average. 652 runs, number 1. 334 on-base percentage, number 1. It's like, so They are just, you know, they've got five against the Padres left for the season. They've got three against San Francisco. It's going to be a nip and tuck. I see San Francisco holding them off, but it would not shock me that the Dodgers overtake San Francisco, which makes San Francisco the wild card team. I don't see it happening, but it wouldn't surprise me because this team is doing what me and you have called out and said they'd probably do sooner or later, and that's get hot and get on the streak. And once you get them on the streak with this pitching staff, it's going to be tough to stop them because this ball gets rolling, this truck gets moving, don't step in front of it because this is one fierce team, and that's not – they don't even have all their power back. Betts isn't even playing for them right now.
Right.
I'm like, Mookie is hurt. Kershaw is hurt. So they don't even have all their pieces, and they're getting hot. But as of now, they're my number two team in the power rankings, the L.A. Dodgers.
Yeah, they're strong, man. 79-47, second in the L, like you said, in the West, 2.5 games behind San Francisco. They are my number two team. And if the playoffs start, I think they're like 8.5 games ahead in the wild card. So the Dodgers and the Giants will be in the playoffs. Is it just that who's going to have that one game plan? That's going to be a battle amongst itself. And you mentioned, you know, the 207 run differential, they're all world. But here's my, and I talked about it before, one run games, Joe, 19-21. That's scary if you get in close games in the playoffs. They're 3-11 in extras, and that may be more of a byproduct of the runner on second. That'll change come playoff time. I'm still worried about them. You mentioned the offense, ranked in top five in only one category, and that's RBIs. Seven players in double-digit homers. Right now, it's the Max Muncy, Chris Taylor, Justin Turner show leading the offense. The key to this team, notwithstanding best, is to get Cody Bellinger healthy and get him consistent level. That's going to be the elixir to get this team offensively consistent enough in the playoffs to get to where they have to again. They have 10 games with 8 or more runs scored since the break, so they can beat up on people, hence the 11-11 ahead to 19-21 in one-run games. You mentioned a pitching staff, Buehler, Arias, solid. Matt Scherzer solid. But David Price has got to step up. He's getting more starts. Can it be a number four starter for the rest of the year? Because you're not going to have Buehler, and Price you can kind of keep in the bullpen. But it's amazing what this pitching staff is doing without a healthy Kershaw as well. 4-2 and 11 starts, Mr. Price, 3.82 ERA. The team is top five in quality starts, strikeouts, saves, ERA, and wins. They're going to be there. They're number 21 in fielding percentage. I'm a little worried about that, but if they can slug the ball and get there, and they will, to the playoffs, they're going to be formidable. They're 15-3 in their last 18. You mentioned upcoming games tonight and tomorrow at San Diego, who right now is on the outside looking in. That's a whole other story. They come home and face the Colorado Rockies for three. Then they go to Atlanta for three more. The Dodgers stemming the tide. It's going to be a battle. Who's going to be the Giants or the Dodgers in the West? The Dodgers are number two right now in the NL West. And at 79-47, they sit number two in my power rankings on the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe.
Which brings us to my number one team. And by the way, Red Sox fans, take note of what I'm about ready to say. The Giants, the San Francisco Giants are number one. They're 81-49. They are 7-3 in the last 10 games. They have a winning streak of three. They're 16-5 in August. They have a plus 150 run differential there. What we questioned all during the year was the division, could they held up? But right now, their division record is 36-18, which isn't too shabby when it comes to that Western division. They have ERA of 2.23, which is second. They have 40 saves, which is number one in the National League. They have 42-19 at home, 39-25 away. In one-run games, they are 23-14. So they're better in one-run games than the Dodgers are. Gausman and DeSclafani are both on the DL, but Gausman has 12-5 losses, 2.48. DeSclafani's 11-5, 3.26, but they're both on a 10-day injury list, so hopefully they can get them back soon. Their bullpen is led by McGee with 28 saves, I'm sorry. Rogers has 11 saves, so they get a 1-2 punch. McGee's 3-2, 2.68. Rogers 4-1, 1.95 ERA. So Brandon Wood is 10-4, 4.11 ERA. So, I mean, it's not the greatest ERAs, but they've got a decent pitching staff. They just need to make sure that they get their number one and number two guys back. But what I meant by Red Sox fans, role players, role players. Isn't these role players and what they do for them? Mr. Flores, 15 RBIs, 15 home runs, 44 RBIs, 250 batting average. Wade Jr., 13 home runs, 43 RBIs, 251 batting average. Ruff, 14 homers, 33 RBIs, 272. These are all role players that are playing roles within the game of versus righties versus lefties. Mr. Yaz has 20 home runs, 50 RBIs. He's only batting 220, but he's getting there. Brandon Belt, until last night, was in a slump. Grandmother died. He decided to play, and he hit two home runs. So maybe he broke out of the slump. Maybe he is, but right now he's got 15 home runs, 40 RBIs. He's only batting 247. Brandon Crawford, 19 home runs, 70 RBIs, 300 batting average. So, I mean, this team consistently has done it all year long. We question whether they can keep it up. The stretch run is here. I don't see them losing this. I see them finishing off good. They lead the league in fielding percentage. They do it with their pitching. They don't walk anybody. This team has role players up and down the lineup. No great star besides Crawford. They're number one, and they're not going anywhere. They're definitely, I see them being the number one as far as in the playoffs. They'll be facing a wild card winner. That's my prediction. I see Giants finishing off this in 18 games, being the West Division leader, and nobody would have called this at the beginning of the year. But as of now, they're still my number one team in the top five rankings.
And of course, and I concur, as you do on all the teams today, Giants are by far and away the number one team. You have to do the division record, 36-18. 14-4 in their last 18. You talked about the pitching. All five starters have seven wins or more. They get the closer, Jake McGee. He's solid with 28 saves. The bridge man, Tyler Rogers, getting it done with 23 holes. My issue on the pitching staff, and it's not major, Kevin Gausman is on the IL due to a COVID-19 vaccine reaction. That should be final. Probably miss Friday's start. Anthony DeSclafani has an ankle injury. Not serious. He could be activated for this weekend. He's eligible on Sunday against the Braves. But keep an eye on Scalfini, because ankles and pitchers can sometimes rear their ugly heads. Little concerns about that, but they're getting it done pitching-wise. Smoke and mirrors. This team is no joke now. Offense. Brandon Crawford, he's day-to-day with lower back tightness. He was taken out of last night's game. He is their offensive MVP. Team leader in batting average, RBIs, on-base percentage, hits. You mentioned Yastrzemski. He's finding his home run swing. He's not going to hit for average, but he can stem the tide because he can jack him out. Tony Holmes, 15 RBIs. Like you said, I'm a little concerned about this team, Joe, and I'll tell you why. Albeit they're number four in fielding percentage, you talk about games coming up against the Dodgers. But before that, they're at the Mets tonight and tomorrow. Starting Friday, they're at a very hot Atlanta team, number one in the NL East. Then they go to Milwaukee, who's number one in the Central, for four, and they come home and face the Dodgers for three. Put a gun to my head, I still like the Dodgers if they get healthy to overtake the Giants. I hope I'm wrong. The battle's going to be great. It's going to be must-see TV with these guys. The Padres are going to be in there, throw some wrench into the soup. The Cincinnati Reds are making some noise. The Braves are formidable now. The Phillies are better. So these division games, or the outside division games, you get a lot of teams playing spoiler while having a chance to gain a wild card berth. I like the Giants. I wanted to stem the tide. We'll see. They are number one in the league, and they are also number one in my power rankings. The San Francisco Giants, top five at five, number one in my books, and look at every bit of part of it. So we're going to step aside, take a little break, take a little breather. We're going to come back, close it out with some final thoughts. This you're listening to The Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe, live on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer... Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton.
Oh, how about that?
I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association. Looking for all your game day gear? Stop by edgsports.com/shop for all your upcoming season needs. Powered by Fanatics. That's edgsports.com/gear. Brought to you by Fanatics.
Welcome back to the Hump Day Show with Chips and Joe on the blogtalkradio.com E2G Sports Network. Just about 4 minutes left in the show, and that's the Sean Thornton Foundation. Like you said, log on to E2GSports.com. The Sean Thornton Foundation Golf Tournament will be rescheduled as of September 30th. For more information, once again, log on to E2GSports.com and get your information and all you need to know. Scroll down on the right-hand side, I believe, under the Sean Thornton Foundation, everything you need to know. Great cause, hell of a guy, good stuff. Log on to E2GSports.com. But in the few minutes we have, Joe, and we can really gross it over, MLB.com has come out with their rankings of farm teams. And actually, I have two. Your Pittsburgh Pirates are number four. So I know you're feeling good about that. The Red Sox have moved up. I'm looking for them now as I'm scrolling down. But your thoughts on your Pirates being that small market team? Actually, let me stop you there. The Boston Red Sox, according to MLB.com, have the number 12 farm system in all of baseball, preseason ranked 24th. So your thoughts on that? Because that's what it's all about, right? That's what Heim's about, building the farm system. Marcelo Mayer, Tristan Casas, Jaron Duran, the Red Sox are number 12. They've jumped up 50% from where they were at the beginning of the season. Your thoughts on that? That's a good thing.
Well, Hine has done his job, and he's built the farm system back up from the barren wasteland that it was. And let's see if we can keep on moving forward and see if we can build some pieces, because the farm system is not all about who comes up to the major leagues. It's also about pieces that you can move to get yourself better. So keep on building these pieces, but it doesn't always translate into them being a Major League Baseball player. I'm not saying Duran is failure, but his first time around was not exactly an A-plus ever, not A-plus answer. It was more like a C, but, you know, that's when you go back down to the minor leagues and try again. And as far as the Pittsburgh Pirates, they've always had a decent farm system. It wasn't the farm system that everybody laments about. It's the fact that they bring them up there. Then they trade them away because they're too damn cheap to pay them, so they get rid of them. So it's like, you know, stop playing the small market because you're in Pittsburgh. That's not a small market. Stop paying the guys, keeping them, and make yourself a formidable team so you can actually make some noise in that division.
A little emotional there for a team you say you claim you're not a fan of right there, Joe. So I'll let that – we're going to clip that piece of the tape and hold it. So, you'll come out of the wood. But, yeah, you're right, though. And you know, that'll be the bargaining agreement. We'll see if some of these small market teams are going to be forced to pay more payroll and make it that much more competitive landscape. But be that as it may, it's been a quick 90 minutes. Joe, thanks for your time, baby. I really appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Look forward to doing it again next week, my friend.
Oh, it's great. Awesome show. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Lou, for calling in. But come out of the closet, Lou, and make sure you stay a Jets fan all year long. And thanks for calling the show. And thanks for being an E2G fan, because you call all the shows. But it's been a great day. Appreciate it very much. Thanks for your time.
You got it. And Lou from New Jersey, thanks for your call. Rob Marcello, who's one half of the Double Steel Baseball Show, Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on the blogtalkradio.com, E2G Sports Network. And tonight on MGM Podcast with Galen, MJ, and the boys on the same network as well. So tune in to EGSports.com. Lots going on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being there. Take care. Be safe. Stay well. Keep hydrated. Enjoy your sports weekend. All the best to you and yours. Be safe.